The Lord be with you. Good morning. Good Wednesday morning. It's good to see all of you. And now I want to introduce to you my dear, dear friend, Grace. There is a lot of Grace in this space today. There is. She is a gentle, loving woman of God, and I am so eager for you to hear the word she is bringing today. So would you pray with me? Gracious Father, may your spirit rest upon Grace. Give her a word for us. Give her your word for us today. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Grace. Hope College, it is so good to be with you this morning. I want to thank you for coming to chapel so that you and I together may listen to the word of the Lord in this place. It's such a gift. The word of the Lord comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now, during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord. I find this passage quite remarkable. Actually, the entire book of Acts is, well, it has everything in it but dinosaurs, is how one New Testament scholar described it. It's exciting. In the book of Acts, we are prompted for action. Jesus has promised to send the Spirit, and when the Spirit descends upon the people gathered in Jerusalem, the apostles, the disciples, the people of the church are prophesying, they're healing and preaching, and they're also being arrested. It's a time of great growth for the church, but it's also a time of great sacrifice. In the first few chapters of Acts, we are looking at the opening scenes of the drama of the early church unfold. And then we come to chapter 6. In chapter 6, something quite ordinary seems to be happening. It's what you would think a family would be doing. People are complaining. People are concerned about food. Some people are being put in charge over others. It just seems so mundane. But the way I like to think about it is, it's like that scene in the movie when the characters are standing at the sink just washing dishes, or the soldiers are playing cards in the bunker. It seems so ordinary. But in fact, something really important is being revealed in those conversations. It's not filler time, and it's not a transition. So in this encounter of Hebrews and Hellenist Jews, we are meant to learn something about God and something about us. we learn that the work of the Holy Spirit is not only present in the action-packed events of healing and of preaching. The Spirit of the Lord is present here in the ordinary acts of widows being brought up, of being remembered, being cared for by the community of believers. But so often, ordinary, rather mundane acts can be overlooked and forgotten. I had this coworker named Virginia who, when washing her dishes, would always wash the remaining dishes in the sink. And I would observe her with a bit of awe and a bit more of righteous anger on her behalf, because I just found it so ironic that we worked for a Christian justice organization, and it just seemed a bit unfair that others disregarded this office rule to wash your own dishes, but left it messily piled up in the sink for others to take care of. So I would ask her, but she would just simply shrug her shoulders and keep scraping and washing and drying. But it was something behind her casual manner that lay a deep faith and a conviction to love God and her neighbor, to care for what had been forgotten by others, not only by writing grant proposals for a land rights project in marginalized communities in Honduras, but she sought to care for the things and the people that were neglected in her very own life. She saw herself as a recipient of care by God and by others. She knew she belonged to a community of people that were called to care for one another. And in the Old Testament, we find the same thing. The care for the widow was permanently woven into the fabric of the covenant relationship God held with the people of Israel. A woman who had no means to sustain herself was found at the periphery of life. But God's concern was that she would not remain at the periphery of life, but she would belong to the covenant life of that community. So it's not surprising that care for the widows comes again to be the concern for the early church. Yes, it is Hellenists that must remind the larger community that all widows must be cared for. But the very fact that they could make such a claim is because this care is meant to be part of how we are to live together. You could also say this manner of care is how we are to be in communion with one another. The Apostles' Creed speaks about this communion of saints in section that begins, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." And I think this is true because living in communion with one another is the gift of the Spirit, as well as the challenge the Spirit presents to each community. But the good news is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God grants us both the desire and the means by which we can be in fellowship, in communion with one another. The Spirit is present in reading the Scriptures and moving us towards action that brings us into fellowship with one another. And the Spirit is present in people, in the people of Jerusalem, moving in men and women, in city natives and out-of-towners, in widows and in the apostles, so that being full of faith and the Holy Spirit, they would be fashioned into a new community, a community that lived by the Spirit and the Word. A community of people that preached the good news of the resurrection and were the people of the resurrection. The church we read about in Acts was being animated and guided by the Spirit in very ordinary and extraordinary ways. So men and women of hope, may the Spirit of Christ be upon you this week so that you may seek to live by the Spirit and the Word, and be guided to participate in the ordinary and extraordinary ways God is fashioning us to be people of the resurrection. Amen.